Good morning, I'm Commissioner Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting back to order. This is our 10:30 agenda item, and we'll start with consideration of a resolution to issue a refund for fees associated with the withdrawn building permit. So would you introduce this, and we'll get right to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This request is for a building permit fee. The applicant applied for a building permit. It went through the plan review process. We do not refund plan review fees, but we can refund the building permit fee when no inspections have been completed. Having said that, the refund is also pursuant to the adopted fee schedule, which indicates that we can't refund more than 80% of that permit fee. So you'll find that the recommendation I've made is 80% of the permit fee that they paid in the amount of $2,092.
Questions? Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the refund request for Myrna Jusila.
I pronounced it Julissa, but I don't know if that's correct.
Case number BP2022-0451.
Second.
In the amount of $2,092.
Well, there's a second twice.
So, 2 seconds. Sorry about that, Commissioner.
Okay. Second twice, does that make it different than this? Anyway, the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I always try to get that done. I don't know.
All right. We also have a 10:30 agenda item, action item to consider certificates of non-compliance. So we can either do them in the order that they've been put on the agenda or however it works best for your presentation.
We can just go with what's on the agenda. That works.
Okay.
For us.
All right. Sounds good.
So first up is yours, right, Kentrees?
Yes.
Can you provide a background?
This is in a residential neighborhood. Most of the neighborhood's pretty well maintained. We got a couple complaints from the neighbors saying it looks like this house is abandoned, and they gave me some information that the homeowner is ill. She's went to Oklahoma. She currently is going through cancer treatment. Yeah, and so the property's got a lot of cars, trash, debris, got some weed issues going on, and it looks like recently some more stuff has shown up. Not sure if anyone's currently living in the house or not.
So somebody's using the property that's probably not in her best interest. Or the communities.
That, and the property owner is out of state at this time, so citations are not available for us to issue, and the house is vacant. So this is the reason we want to move forward with a certificate of non-compliance.
Okay, all right. Any questions on this specific line item? So we're in.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Agreements on that?
Yep.
Okay.
Hemlock, I'm sure you're all familiar with. This is Easy Heating and Air. Easy Heating and Air was operating that approximately 18 to 24 months ago in a rural residential zone. We submitted that complaint to the prosecuting attorney. During that process, the property owner submitted a conditional use permit application. Prosecuting attorney's office decided to dismiss the charges since the CUP process was ongoing. CUP process was denied. It was appealed to the board. Board denied it. We resubmitted that to the prosecuting attorney's office. We are currently in waiting for that to be accepted. Problem is, property owner has said in an email that they're going to continue to operate until they find a suitable location. I told them that they had 18 to 24 months to do so, and they should have anticipated this. And they said, well, there's really nothing out there available, so we're going to continue to operate here. So those emails and that communication has been included in the criminal report that went to the attorney's office in late June.
Any questions from the board?
Chairman?
Yes.
It is frustrating to me that there's a posture of it's easier to apologize than ask permission, you can't make me. That's not indicative of good citizenry. And I appreciate your efforts. We did receive some email traffic on that, which I forwarded to Eric. And really, we are at this point, if I understand it correctly, totally dependent on the prosecutor's office to assist the board and code enforcement with having them comply.
Correct. We've exhausted everything we can possibly do. This is our second report to the prosecuting attorney. We've been very accommodating, allowing them to continue to operate as a county until they exhausted their efforts to legitimize the business, and it just wasn't reasonable for that to occur. So we really don't have any other options here.
And Chairman, is the communication and the timeline with the prosecutor's office, is that on track with your office?
I would say it's normal for this to go through. It needed to go through records with the sheriff's department, then get routed to their screening. So we're in that process right now, and I don't think we're, you know, out of the ordinary there. So I think everything's moving forward adequately.
I just want to understand the process of this question. Is the denial of the CUP is really a cease and desist because you weren't granted the ability to operate there. Is that true or not?
Correct. The original notice of violation was also a cease and desist, and that was at least 18 months to maybe 24 months ago. So they're well aware of it.
Chairman, this might be one that we would just want to ask our chief deputy where they're at with it. I know Eric in the past and his team, they do a great job trying to clean up Canyon County. Sometimes because of load and priority, those code enforcement cases, there was one in particular that was fairly big for Canyon County that got pushed to the 10-year maximum, and then they had to start over. We don't want that to happen. That's not a good plan for neighbors.
So I have a point of clarification. They were in violation 18 to 24 months ago. They came with a land designated change application,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they were in violation.
Correct.
So I think that what we're looking at today is direction from the board to proceed under the violation. And they exhausted all of their other possibilities by changing the land designate, and that was found to not be fruitful for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were coming with that land change request knowing that they were in violation while they were proceeding through with that application. So now the application's been decided and they continue to be in violation. So we're just going to be in concurrence with Eric to proceed.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So I think we're good to proceed on that one. What's the next one?
5319 Lake, I believe this is yours if you want to present.
Wait, she owns one? Not really.
No better.
Yeah.
5319 Lake has been a continuing problem. We actually did abate the property in 2022. There was a large trailer filled with trash and household trash and things like that. The trailer has since been moved this year. Complaints keep coming in. The trailer is now behind the property, filling up with trash again, multiple occupied RVs. And so we're requesting the certificate of noncompliance at this time.
Just so the board's aware, we have our officer Phillips has obtained a bid for a cleanup on this, and that is under review with Director Mitchell at this time, and we will be requesting funding for that abatement. Property owner, criminal citation is probably not in the best interest. I don't think the property owner has the
mental
ability to understand what's going on.
Good for them to proceed?
Yes, I'm in favor.
Yep, all right.
Okay, Mamer, this is a, you're dismissed. Mamer Lane, there's several parcels as you can see. Gary Westerfield and I both have worked on this. This has been sent to the prosecutor's office. Property owner was found guilty and placed on probation with a $200 fine. Officer Westerfield resubmitted that as a violation of his probation as the property has not changed. So that is currently in screening with the prosecuting attorney's office. However, to motivate the property owner, we'd like to record certificates of noncompliance on the following five parcels.
I think it's six.
Six parcels that are all owned and controlled by the property owner.
Any questions on that?
I don't. Thank you, Gary, for your work on that.
We're good to proceed on those.
I think Apricot, I'm not too familiar with that one.
This is the Luna property, I believe. This has a burned out house on there that they're doing something with. I don't know if anyone's living in there or not, but they put an RV next to it and they were starting to build some sort of a structure around that RV. So we sent them a notice saying that that structure needs to come down, and we also asked that the we need to get building involved with this, and we need to send some notices for the burned out house. Probably should either be boarded up or demolished one way or another, but the roof is falling in, and clearly there's some sort of activity going on inside there. They've had a lot of trash and garbage. I started to get it cleaned up, and then it seems to get junked back up. So it's kind of on again, off again. So I'm hoping that this will motivate them to finally do the things that we're asking and clean up that property.
Questions?
Oh, I am in favor.
All right, proceed with that.
And Officer Westerfield and I will probably have something to contribute on this one. So 11438 Moss, that is occupied by Florencio, you have a last?
Mendiola.
So the property is owned by a Mexican national. The property is... has 4-foot chain link all the way around it. Front door is not approachable. We've tried several times over the last 2 to 3 years. We've received a lot of complaints on the property. There is clearly an auto repair business. We're able to determine that Florencio is the person that is in control of the property through driver's license records and mailings. We know that he occupies that. The uncle, who is the Mexican national, it turns out the address in Washington state is not accurate. That's where the property taxes were going. So mailings weren't going to him. We've talked to Florencio, we've talked to neighbors. Neighbors told us where Florencio works. We went to his employer. Employer wouldn't allow us to come in. We wanted to cite him, couldn't do it. We submitted a report to the prosecuting attorney.
Yesterday.
Well, and then one prior about a year ago,
Over
a year ago. And their determination was that there was not enough due diligence to prove that Florencio was in control of the property, although that's where his driver's license goes and his mail goes. So we built more evidence over the last year, and we resubmitted it yesterday. So again, this is just a technicality, just to warn any potential buyer or lender that there are open code enforcement cases on her violations on this, and to get the attention of the property owner who apparently does not live there.
Yes.
All right.
And that's all we had for today.
I would make a motion for the record that having reviewed all of the agenda items and all of the listed parcel numbers, that I would make a motion that we make a record that we've authorized and are in concurrence with this to proceed. Questions or a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you for all your work.
Good work.
Thank you.
We have a whole stack of signs.
Okay, did you guys want to adjourn?
We do. We will adjourn till wherever, till 11:00.